I'm Tamara.
And I'm still Rel.
And this is Fearful Friends Podcast.
Hello.
Welcome. It's Friday.
Hello.
Thank God.
Thank someone. It's Friday. How was your week?
Well, it was a short week because Labor Day.
Oh, fuck you.
And, yeah. And it still felt like the longest week. I don't know what's been happening to me, but like 4 o'clock, I just
get, PM?
Yeah. I have an hour left of work and I just get rage. Like, it's just a deep rage.
It's that time. And when the rage sets in.
And I'm like tired and people just keep coming and I have so much to do and they just won't stop. And it's like one person comes and I handle them and I sit down to do one of the million things I have to do. And the moment I sit down, someone else comes up.
It's like all their stupid people problems. And what? You want to deposit some money here? It's bad day for you, friend.
Yeah. What do you think? What do you think you're going to do?
You're really
make me work.
Make
me do my job. I hate it. I hate feeling that way. But it's like, oh, you've been here every single day this week. Why are you here again?
That is a very bitter feeling. Like doing a job that can be done online and just like why are you here seven times a week?
Do it once a day, once a week. Like, oh, I know that I'm like, this is literally my job, and I'm, like, telling people to stop coming into my job. Like, whatever.
You're going to be replaced by a robot.
I mean, honestly, banking is changing a lot. There are a lot of banks that have gone, like, cashless, so it's, like, you know.
How can you be a cashless bank? What do you do with the cash?
They have a whole bunch of ATMs.
And they even, that's not cashless.
Right. But, like, none of the employees handle the cash. And they even have, like, video tellers on some of the ATMs, which is cool.
I had a video bartender one time when I was in St. Augustine. That was pretty cool. I assume it's something like that. We didn't actually get real drinks.
Oh.
She made a fake drink. I was really disappointed.
She made a fake drink.
I thought we were at a, where were we? Oh, wait. Maybe this was in New Orleans. I think we were in New Orleans.
I thought you said New Orleans.
I thought I said St. Augustine.
Oh, maybe you did.
Anyways.
I'm not
one
listening.
Of those places. I thought I was going to be made a cocktail by a holograph. Hologram? Whatever. It was just a fake cocktail. And she was like, here you go. And I was like, thanks for nothing. Glad I got to see you make it. Where's the real liquor?
How did you think that was going to work?
I assumed that there was someone behind the hologram screen that was actually preparing a real cocktail, and that when 3D hologram handed me a drink, they would stick their hand through the hologram and the drink would be there.
Okay.
That's how I would have done it.
Okay.
Okay. But some people don't have the vision. It's called experience.
Yeah. I got nothing done at work this week, and it's so frustrating. Like, my schedule is supposed to be released on Friday for Monday
is... That's today. You didn't do it?
I couldn't finish it.
I was going to finish it.
I gave them Monday's hours, and I don't even know if it's going to work out that way, but honestly, I got so mad at them, and I'm like, not a confrontational person.
Sometimes
especially with people I work with, because it's just who I am and it's one of my many flaws as like a supervisor. Okay, I'm not good at it. I don't want to talk about it. Whatever.
Same. It's hard to be the bad person.
Over and over again, I would walk away, go sit down, get my computer pulled up, get our schedule thing pulled up, and then get called out there for something. And I was getting so frustrated because I'm in a time crunch and...
It's weird that you're making the schedule. Isn't your boss back?
I always make the schedule.
Oh.
Yeah.
But then you also have to be teller.
Exactly. Dr. Phil.
And it's like, time for that.
I know. And the schedule, like, we have to put everything into the schedule. It's so annoying. But I have to have, like, you know, some higher thinking and some, like, I need to pay attention to this. and I need to like focus, and then someone walks up and I lose my focus and I go back to it and I'm like, what am I doing? And I just spend a whole day doing nothing, trying to get a schedule done. Plus I only had 4 days this week. And anyway, so I go back to the back to be off the teller line to work on my schedule, and
alone.
They just kept calling me up, and we message each other on Teams all day long. So I send this message, like, my teller, do not disturb. My teller is alone on the teller line, and you know, it's Friday, so we're, you know, a little bit busy. Yeah, it's not like crazy, but you know, she needs help, she needs overrides, blah blah blah. And she goes on and asks for help, and nobody out of my two bankers responds to her. And they're just sitting there.
Oh, so they're just dicks.
Yeah. And my boss is on a call, and the first time it happened, I said, will one of you go help blah blah name of my teller? And at first they don't answer, so I message them individually, who is going to go help her? And so one of them writes back, oh, I went back to help her and she said that she only needed your help. So I sent her a message and said, I'm on the phone with a client right now, I cannot come back there. She didn't respond to me, of course, because I'm sure it was just some bullshit she needed.
That a banker could have helped her with.
Right. And then a few minutes later, I get a message. It's like, oh, I can't find so-and-so's account number. And it's one of our regulars. Again, neither one of them respond. My boss is still on a call. So my boss rushes out there to go, like, make sure that that's the client. Because it's, like, one of our known clients. We don't ID our known clients. And she's like, oh, yeah, that's so-and-so. Yep, we know them. And my teller's like, I cannot find her account number. Like, she doesn't have a debit card. And we don't expect any of our clients to know their account numbers, obviously. So we
don't know my account number.
Yeah, I don't know my account number either. So, you know, we always look them up for him.
And she doesn't have a debit card?
No. A lot of people don't have debit cards.
Who?
Old people. You know.
Never heard
so
of that.
So many of them.
Absurd.
So many of them, like, or they'll, like, have one. They'll be like, I've never used this.
What do they use to buy things?
Their credit Checks? Card.
Why would you put it on a credit card?
It's safer. You're supposed to, really. That's what we advise all our clients to do, but whatever. Anyway.
It's charged interest if you don't pay it.
Well, they do. Because, you know.
It'd be nice to have money.
Right. So, yeah, she needs this person's account number, and they're just fucking sitting there. And I was getting so angry because not only am I trying to avoid them, but, like, I'm now, instead of doing my schedule, watching them do fucking nothing and not getting anything done and still trying
to call them out by name. Hey, you, I see you sitting there. Go deal with it.
But I couldn't go out there.
Be the bitch.
I needed to, like,
be the lioness.
I needed to set my foot down and not come and save everyone and not come and tell everyone what they needed to do. Figure it out. We're all adults here. She needs help. You can help her. You can't rely on me, and I'm going to sit back
until
here.
Until somebody gets screamed at.
And ignore you.
Tamara, where were you?
In the back where I told you I was. I put my little Teams on away, but I can still get their messages. Told them I was on the phone with a client.
Bye.
Yeah. So again, my boss rushes out there, and my boss isn't on a computer, like, with a teller thing on there, so she can't look up account numbers the way we can. So she rushes to me and is like, can you come look up blah blah's phone number or blah blah's account number? And I'm like, sure, like, no one could do that,
but nobody else can. Right.
So, like, I stop what I'm doing, go out to the teller line, pull it up in 3.5 fucking seconds, and I'm like, there's my bankers just
fucking
I was so mad. And then one of my bankers asked me, what's wrong? And I said, well, you guys aren't getting a schedule.
Have you ever seen Crazy Ex-Girlfriend?
Yes.
They remind me of, like, her coworkers at the law firm.
Mm-hmm.
Jim and whatever that other guy's name is, the Canadian guy. They're just always, like, standing there. And then the lady walks into the empty ice cube tray and she's like, who put this empty ice cube tray back in the freezer? And he's just like, I don't like to put it in there because the water splashes everywhere. Somehow it always gets refilled. And she's like, it's me! That's what they remind me of.
That is feeling. It's me! I'm doing it!
Nice fairy. Potatoes.
Any one of you can come help me with the fucking schedule. If you expect me to just jump when everyone says fucking jump, when anyone else could come help these people, you are
for a silly thing like that.
Not going to get a schedule. So right before we're leaving, they're like, so are we off next week? And I said, no, I told you I'm not doing, I couldn't do the schedule. I worked on it every single day this week and they don't have a schedule. And I said, I'm not coming in tomorrow. I'm not working on the schedule and I'm not staying late today.
Boom. Can your boss finish it? She's salary, right?
No. No, because it's my schedule. No one's allowed to touch it.
Wow. You know, just Dixie, kidding. You are so obsessed with your schedule.
Because, like,
you need to let it go, Tamara. You need to let the schedule go.
I'm very controlling, but, like,
it's not helping when these potatoes are not appreciating it.
I know, but it's just so involved. And, like, I know all the ins and outs. And I know, like, everything where it needs to go. It's just so much work. And they're, like, coming out. It's, like, a new-ish program. And they're, like, it's just going to take all the work away. It's going to make the schedule for you. And I'm like,
fuck. You've been working on this fuck every you. Day for a week. What are you talking about?
Anyway, that's a lot to talk about a schedule. But my boss actually was like, I've never heard you talk to them like that.
You need to get sassier, Tamara. That's not sassy enough. You need to get sassier. Call them out by name. Be like, hey, you garbage. Step up.
But then I have to continue to work with these people.
Yeah, that's fine. You don't have to be friends with them. Do you like them?
No.
Then who cares? Who cares?
On a good note, today was our first 5 o'clock Friday where we didn't have to stay till 6.
Are you guys going to call it that from now on?
5 o'clock Fridays?
It does have a ring to it.
I guess.
Five o'clock Friday!
I mean, it's also 5 o'clock Monday, 5 o'clock Tuesday. It's just, we don't have to stay an hour later.
The Friday thing has a ring to it, though.
Yeah. And my branch is closed tomorrow, and...
Huzzah! You have the weekend off.
I get to sleep in tomorrow. I'm so excited.
I'm so proud of you. You can actually do things.
Yeah.
You can spend time with your family.
Have some sort of life.
You can have... Bang, bang.
No, because I don't want to get pregnant. You scare me, and so I'm lazy.
I scared you?
Yeah.
When?
Just
10 minutes ago?
About 24 minutes ago.
Okay. Wow, we've been recording for 24 minutes?
Yeah.
Oh, it was mostly burps, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was 8 minutes before.
Lot of burps.
Yeah.
Are you going to ask me how my week's been?
I was just gonna. How's your week been? How's work?
It's been fine.
You're boring. You're boring.
I had my audit yesterday.
How?
My department passed with 100% for the 6th time in a row since we opened.
Oh my goodness.
It's fucking easy if you do your job the right way.
I know. Is your auditor like a see you next Tuesday like ours always was at Winn-Dixie?
Oh yeah. So there was one point where, like, you know, it's Florida. Like, we have random storms that come in and you just get random power surge. It just, like, it happens. So, like, I was in my cooler and the power flickered on and off and on maybe a second. It was pitch black and then lights were back on. Like, not even long enough to fully stop the fans from swirling. So,
like, I didn't realize that I must have blinked in that one second.
I mean, like, I panicked for a second. Like, I can't see the door! But then I remembered that we have glow-in-the-dark little poop-poops. But it wasn't even long enough to activate, like, the glow-in-the-dark thing. So, like, whatever. One of my coworkers came back and was just like, your cooler's good? And I was like, yeah? Why? Like, it just flickered. And she's just like, oh, the auditor's running around and she's telling everybody that the power was off for over 60 seconds and now she has to retemp everything. Like, the power was off for too long and all the coolers shut off. And I was just like, what? If that bitch tries to come back over here with a digital temperature, I'm gonna fight her. Because it's fine. And then they're, like, coming up with new rules, like, willy-nilly. Like, I've never heard of this shit in my life. So, Here's one. Apparently, on the audit, which I have four questions on my audit. It's right. super easy. Are the dates good? Are your temperatures good? Are you scanning out shrink properly? And are you doing the ordering procedures right? Like, it's really easy. Mm-hmm. But then there's, like, other things, like certain cleaning tasks that I don't actually see printed anywhere. But, like, I just know that there are things that she looks for. But I'm just supposed to, like, know that they're supposed to be done. Mm-hmm. Anyways, apparently, I was getting ready to, like, take a U-boat out to the sales floor because she came on a truck day. Mm-hmm. And
great.
Someone was just like, oh, hey, do you want me to spot you? And I was like, this U-boat is, like, this tall. I'm good. And he's just like, well, the auditor just dinged us. And I was just like, for what? Oh, for bringing a U-boat out to the sales floor without a spotter. It's just like, for this. It's three boxes high. It's fine. It's not going to fall. And if it does fall, it won't be far. And he's just like, well, I just don't want to risk it. Like, she said we need a spotter for every U-boat that we take out. And then I talked to my manager and I was just like, was he joking? Like, I just couldn't tell because he's always mm-hmm. fucking with me. And she's just like, no, I'm just for right now, let's put everything on, like, the four-wheeler carts. Let's mm-hmm. put everything on the short carts just to be safe. And I'm just like, this bitch is fucking for real. We God. Need a full-time person just to be a spotter. Because I bring five U-boats out a day just in one shift. Like, I'm not going to find a random person to just be like, can you follow me?
Can you watch me, like, babysit me?
Do the job that I've been doing for 3 years and pull a U-boat, which is the easiest part of the job. I just think it was just so funny. And, like, everybody's just, like, always freaking out. And I'm just like, just do the fucking job the first time around. Meanwhile, we have people that have been working at our store since the beginning. They've been at our store since grand opening who still don't know how cut gloves work. In front of the auditor, put the cut glove on the hand that was holding the knife. Instead of on the hand that could be cut.
Oh my God.
Okay. That's my bitch. I just think it's funny. But whatever. I'm getting my tiny little $200 bonus for passing the audit.
I love how people get so worked up when the auditors come and I'm like,
what do you have to worry about?
What are you gonna do?
What do you have to worry about?
Worst case scenario, you're gonna fire me, but I fucking doubt that.
Listen. Just in the last, like, year alone, I've known of, like, two stores that failed their audit. Failed. And all of those people still have their jobs.
Yeah.
Some of them shouldn't.
Like, they're all, like, walking on pins and needles. Oh, the auditor's coming back here. Watch out.
I know. And, like, it scared me at first. I'm not
doing anything wrong.
But, like, I don't know. Like, yeah, she probably could have dinged me on stuff, like, I am shorthanded. There are certain things that I don't have time to clean, like, once a month, you know? Like, but I'm doing the best I can.
Yeah. I feel the same way. Like, we have this rule where we have to have someone standing in the lobby, like, the whole time we're open.
A greeter?
Yeah. And we're not allowed to not have it there for security reasons, whatever. I get it. But if you're going to continue to, like, not
pay someone to stand there,
not hire, like, and we have to all rotate it. So, like, if that person who's out there needs to run to the bathroom or whatever,
they just stand there.
Well, we have our computer and we greet every client. We get them signed in, you know, or we get them, you know, their deposit slips or whatever they need. But it's more of a security thing that why they do that.
Ain't nobody getting robbed today.
I mean, you know, hopefully.
God, Tamara, do we have some wood to knock on?
I don't even care if I get robbed.
Right behind you. Please don't knock over that shelf. It's very heavy.
I don't care if I get robbed, honestly. Here's some.
Don't say that.
First of all, I work behind bullet resistant glass all day long. I'm in a
fishbowl. It's not bulletproof.
And
my box is almost empty.
Like, honestly, just don't come in with a gun. Like,
it's Florida.
Never.
Everybody's coming in with a gun.
But, like, when you come in to rob a place, like a bank, like, don't ever bring a weapon with you. You don't even have to say it. Okay, I'm gonna stop talking now.
I'm over here just like, where is this going?
I'm gonna stop talking.
But she's basically saying, just tell me you want the money and I'll give it to you.
No, I'm not saying that.
You don't even have to point a gun in my face.
What I'm saying is that a robbery is one thing, and a robbery with a weapon. Armed robbery. That's a totally different thing. Why? Anyway, please don't rob me.
Stop it. Stop thinking about it.
Also, banks have, like, no money, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, apparently, especially in
I'm just learning today. I heard there were cashless banks.
Mm-hmm.
That's a thing.
A lot.
Yeah.
So, you ready to start your story?
Womp womp.
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Give me a hint. I want to guess it.
Oh, I don't know if there's really a hint that I could give you that won't give it away.
What's the point of a hint?
An obsession that takes you to the ends of life itself. That's all you get.
Oh, that was some pretty vague shit.
Sorry, that was a really horrible laugh. Wow, my butt's really sweaty. In case anyone wanted to know. Okie dokie. So I didn't do my normal intro, but that's fine. I guess I can skittily do it. Aw, only one crack? Aw. Those are my knuckles cracking. I was trying to do the old, yeah, I got this. In case anyone
can see us.
Okay, anyways. This is the case of Carl Tanzler and his beautiful corpse bride.
I think I know this.
You do. Okay. I know you do.
Like, I'm going to cut this out. Like, mausoleum, family.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yep.
Cool, cool.
Key Love West. It. Yes.
Key West, yo.
That was in Key West. Oh, my God.
Yeah, girl.
It was so hot. All right. I'm cutting all this out. Go ahead.
It was probably less hot back then. Global warming.
You know. It was the 1800s. Are we ready?
Mm-hmm.
Today we're going to be talking about Carl Tanzler and his sweet, sweet obsession with that dead lady butt. I don't know. There's no good way to say it.
Her lady butt?
Her lady
lumps.
Her lovely lady lumps. Check it out. So, sorry, that was really loud. Carl Tanzler, also known as Count Carl Tanzler von Kossel. He goes by 70,000 different names. This is the longest and most annoying one. Glad he shortened it. He was born February 8th in 1877 in Dresden, Germany. There isn't a whole lot known about his early years, but we know that after graduating from a medical university, he wound up in Australia in an internment camp during World War I. What is an internment camp?
What is an internment camp?
I don't know. I'm asking you. I forgot to Google it.
So an internment camp is where they like imprison people who are not charged with anything.
Then why would they imprison them?
Like for war reasons or...
Oh! POWs. Yeah.
Or they like suspect that they're terrorism.
I got you.
Yeah.
Prisoners of war.
Okay. Or they suspect they're terrorism.
That makes sense.
Terrorist?
They suspect that they are terrorists.
Yes.
Okay.
Or, you know... They're just, like, hateful, and they imprison them.
Or they're just weird like this camp. Dude.
Okay, maybe, yeah.
So, when the war was over, he was no longer allowed to stay in the country, and he was deported to Holland, but he wasn't able to find any work. So, he decided to mosey on over to the U.S. of A. And, with his wife and two daughters. Someone married him. Yes, he was married. And had two kids.
Yeah.
In 1926, the small family moved to Zephyr Hills, Florida, where the water comes from.
My cousin used to live there. It was really beautiful.
Really? Mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
It was really beautiful. Like, it's still there, everyone.
It is still there. They're springs, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. There are really awesome springs in Florida.
Like, I would still want to go to some springs, but I'm also like, there's so many people there.
Yeah.
I hate people.
I know.
And Springs are just such a small place.
Itchney Tuckney has a huge...
Who?
Itchney Tuckney. It's one of the springs. It's...
Oh, that's a name.
Yeah. It's really, really big. But I want to go to the Devil's Hole. But I will...
Ooh, that's so scary, though.
Will need to have some Xanax.
I will stay on the far edge. I will not swim out of the middle.
I will stay on the stairs.
That's very scary. People die in there.
I'm not like into diving. Like, I will snorkel on the surface.
Oh, no. I don't want to look down. I don't want to know what's down there. I don't know. No. No. I'll just sit in the rocks. I don't want to know what's down there.
Oh, your face. Oh, God.
I'm just picturing it, and it's just black.
No, it's light.
If you see anything, if you see any shape down there, but you don't know what it is. This is SS Morrow Castle all over again.
Yeah, what's that word again?
It's like, trichotillophobia? I don't know.
Starts with a T.
It ends with a phobia.
It does.
Thalacolophobia?
Something like that, yeah. Thalassophobia. No
yes.
Felicity. Thalassophobia. That's why I have to take Xanax. Even when I go snorkeling, like, off of a, like...
I won't snorkel anymore, even in shallow water. Last time I snorkeled, I was in Key West, saw a stingray under... I was floating above the water.
Uh-huh.
Saw a stingray right underneath me. And I fucking Scooby-Doo ran onto the beach. I walked on water to not run over the stingray. I don't want to be Steve Irwin. Rest in peace.
Oh my God, Jimmy Buffett died. How dare you roll your eyes?
Why does everyone care all of a sudden?
I love Jimmy Buffett.
Matt got so mad at me. Because he was just like, Jimmy Buffett died. And I was just like, what's that song he does? Cheeseburgers in Paradise?
Mm-hmm.
But then I couldn't think of it. So I was just like, what is it? Milkshakes and Meritus? What? It's just
you deserve it. I'm mad.
I can't remember what I said, but it was really funny. He didn't think so, but I did.
I love, like...
And they've been playing Jimmy Buffett music all day at work. Yeah. Literally all week, and I want to kill myself.
Oh, no. I love it because it reminds
me. Two shots of Jose Cuervo is not a good song to listen to at the grocery store.
I think it's a great song. That was a deep breath. It reminds me of when I was a kid and my parents would take us on vacation down to the Keys. It relates to your story, see?
It kind of does, but we haven't gotten to the Keys yet, so you just spoiled it for everyone.
Yeah. Anyway, just reminds me of simpler times when I just wasn't responsible and I...
And you could eat cheeseburgers on the beach without having a heart attack from the heat.
Yeah.
R.I.P. Jim Buff.
Jimmy Buffet.
There you go. That's all you get.
Thank you.
I forgot where I left off. So, Zephyr Hills. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He moved to Zephyr Hills with his little family. He submitted his U.S. citizenship documentation while he was there. In his paperwork, he named himself Carl Tanzler von Kossel. And he delighted in telling everyone the story about how he was supposedly related to Countess von Kossel. This was a whole rabbit hole.
Okay.
Because first I had to Google, you know, I was like, Googling who he was. Then I had to Google who she was. Then I was just like, why is she important? And I found out that she was like a royal mistress. To who? Augustus the Strong. Who's that? So then I had to Google that. It's a whole thing. So she was a royal mistress. She was well known.
A royal mistress.
Yes.
Goals.
Right? She was well known as like a super strong female figure in that time period. And that's all that's important, I guess. I mean, I'm sure that, whatever. I'm sure it's important, but this is not a German history podcast, okay?
Okay.
If you want to Google it, his name is Augustus the Strong. I'm sure he's super interesting. Anyways, Carl here claimed that the ghost of this Countess von Kossel would visit him throughout his childhood. And according to him, she would reveal a vision of a dark-haired young woman. Do you see The significance. The similarities.
Definitely. Yep.
I have dark hair. I don't have dark hair.
It's like a medium.
Never mind. It's a medium brown.
Yeah.
Who was to become... I guess it's a good thing that I don't fit the description.
Why?
I don't want to end up like her. Reveal a vision of a dark-haired young woman who was to become the love of his life. How romantic.
So this was when he was a child before his wife.
This was, he's saying that this happened to him throughout his life. This person would come to him, and that's why he changed his name to Von Kossel, because he claimed that, like, it was me. Everyone, calm down. I accidentally hit the microphone.
No, it wasn't that. There was some other noise.
It was this.
Is my house getting broken into? I swear to God, I heard someone knocking on this window next to me.
Stop! And then my dog barked. I'm pretty sure I just whacked the microphone.
No, I specifically heard a...
Don't do that. You're going to get her going. It is raining. Hold on.
Are you getting an alert on your phone now?
No.
I cannot handle this.
But it looks like your lights are on. Hold on. Hold on. Everybody calm down.
You're scaring me. I'm so scared. Also, I can see your entire butt.
No, it's just the reflection. There's nothing out there.
What the fuck was that knocking then?
I think it was me hitting the microphone and you just heard it in your ear.
No, I watched you hit the microphone and then I heard it afterwards.
I'm gonna open that window and then you're gonna be scared if you see anything.
Well, I'm not looking out there. Oh God, she's checking the cameras. I can't handle it.
I only have one out front, and I don't see anything out front.
Why would you open the window like that?
I can't see anything anyways.
Close the fucking window before I have a panic attack.
I can't see anything.
Okay, good. Close that fucking window.
That's not to say there's nothing out there.
You're so brave.
I'm in here. They're out there.
Okay.
Fucking alarms on the windows.
My eye is itching.
This is a fortress. You don't want to know why? Because I'm a psycho. Where did I leave off?
The Von Traps.
Take a breather. What happened? Crunch Wraps?
Ooh. The Von Traps.
That's not his name.
It was a Von Castle.
Von Castle. Von Castle. Okay. Cosell, maybe? Anyways, this lady allegedly would visit him in his dreams and be like, hey, this young, sexy, dark-haired, exotic woman is just gonna like walk into your life and she's it for you, bud. But unfortunately for his wife, she wasn't part of that vision. And in 1927, he abandoned his family in Zephyr Hills. And
unfortunately for his wife, she was blonde.
I actually don't know what she looks like, but probably. he got a job as an x-ray technician in the U.S. Marine Hospital in Key West. Are you still freaking out?
No, my eyes are dry.
I have eye drops that are probably expired. Do you want them?
Nope, I got some of those in my purse.
Cool. We all have them. So yeah, now he's in Key West.
What was he doing in Key West?
He got a job as an x-ray technician at the U.S. Marine Hospital.
Okay.
I don't know if this is really important to the story, but I just think it's really funny to mention that during this time at the hospital, he was a total douchebag. He used to walk around with a cane and show off all these like wristwatches that he claimed were commissioned by the Tsar of Russia. He also claimed to have 9 university degrees. However, all of his licenses, degrees, and medals that were given to him were all proven to be forged.
And his watches were all Timex.
Probably Costco brand. I don't know. I don't know. But yeah, he just like walked around the hospital with this douchey like air of superiority. Like, I've lived this whole life that you could never imagine.
That was a very really bad Moira. German accent. I love it.
Oh, thank you. I was trying to go like 1800s German, but I guess it works. It doesn't work at all.
Anyways, his whole fucking life was a sham. Luckily for his patients, though, maybe, I guess, he was pretty well read on medicine and radiology and x-ray technology, so.
But he wasn't actually a doctor.
No, he had no licenses or degrees.
This was back in a time you could just say, I'm a doctor, and get a job.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But this hospital is where he would meet the woman of his visions.
Poor woman.
I know. I do feel really bad. Maria Elena Milagro de Hoyos, who also went by Elena for short, and that is how I will be referring to her, because that's a mouthful. She was born in 1909 in Key West to Francisco Hoyos and Aurora Milagro.
Aurora.
I know. Gorgeous. It's such a pretty name. Elena is pretty too. That's so cool.
She led a pretty normal life growing up. She was a devout Catholic who enjoyed Rudolph Valentino movies, cooking for her family and friends, dancing, and she was looking towards the future. She was extremely beautiful to the point where tourists would stop her on the street and ask for her picture. I know. Has that ever happened to you?
No, but it has happened to my sister when she was like,
what a bitch.
In Japan or something.
Because that's just they've never seen a redhead before. Yeah. That's funny. Ugh, by 16, she was married and expecting her first child, which was like the norm back then. But like,
Tamara!
Okay, you were talking about her children. Or she was pregnant with 16.
16 years old. Pregnant. Married. And expecting a child.
Can we just start over?
Sure, go for it.
What are you doing?
Oh, I'm looking for a blood pressure cuff on Amazon because I just...
So you're not listening
I to am listening. Story. You just repeated the same part over and over again.
16.
Married. Pregnant. Barefoot.
Unfortunately, though, the bliss wouldn't last. She miscarried the boy... What? We don't know if it's a boy. I'm sorry. I meant to say baby.
And had slowly developed a cough. When this started, her family had just thought that her sadness over losing her child was making her sick. But the cough persisted. Her husband left her when her illness kept getting worse. I keep wanting to say kept worsening.
Kept progressing.
That's a good word. I like that.
You want to start that sentence over?
No. Her husband left her when her illness kept progressing. In April of 1930, Elena was referred to the Marine Hospital for testing, where she was overseen by our man, Carl. At the time, also, I know he's German and it's the 1800s, but I just want to like call him Carl.
Yeah,
I know. Carl. At the time, she was just 20 years old and he was 53. She was eventually diagnosed with tuberculosis, and even with this unfortunate news, Carl was enamored with her. After all, in his mind, this was the woman from his visions. A beautiful, young, dark-haired woman had just fallen into his lap. He had immediately, and many would say, obsessively, fallen in love with her. He offered his services free of charge and would do whatever he could do to cure her. Help me.
He would do whatever he could to cure her.
Cure. That's the word. Help.
Help me.
Elena and her family accepted the offer as they couldn't afford the treatments on their own. He began treating.
Don't make it gross.
Her right away. No, it's not gross, but it's like kind of like Dr. Frankenstein-esque, okay. In my opinion. Starting with things like connecting electrodes to her body and shocking her. And he would give her medicinal wines and tonics made of gold.
That sounds nice, actually.
The shock?
Sometimes I feel like I could use some electroshock therapy.
I think it's very painful.
Yeah.
And she says like it's very painful.
I kind of like it.
Oh, Tamara. Just kidding. There are toys you can buy that give you a little burp. Like a little pinch.
Like a doggy shock collar?
No, it's like a little stick and you poke and it goes. Tsk. It's just a little. I don't know what it's called.
You've been studying this too much.
Pornhub. It's right. A thing. Okay, going on. All in all, though, I guess this treatment is better than fresh air, which is how a lot of people used to treat tuberculosis. During this time, Carl kept proposing marriage to Elena, which she would always turn down, especially since she was still technically married to her husband. He never divorced her. He just dipped. And also, Carl was still married, too. He didn't divorce his wife. He just left him. She would repeatedly tell Carl that he was way too old for her and that she didn't love him. She was straight up like, bro, ain't gonna happen.
Could you imagine if your doctor was proposing to you? Ugh, gross.
But like, it just shows you even back then, the medical system was flawed. Don't question what I'm doing. She is pouring water into her eyeballs from her thermos.
Oh,
did you get that blade of cilantro in your eye?
No, but it just felt so good. In case anyone wants
to know, there was a piece of cilantro in her water that she just decided to keep drinking.
It was for health, not because I was eating nachos in the car, obviously.
I hope it landed in your eyeball. That's what you get. All right. You keep making me lose my place.
I'm so bad. I need to
put
so
more
sorry.
Paragraphs. Okay. So, she was like, step off, bro, you're too old. His unwanted advances became so persistent that her family finally told him to hit the bricks and they banned him from the family home. The family even relocated to try to get away from him, but did Carl give up?
Hell no.
Hell no! He searched the streets every night until a neighbor who felt bad for him finally gave him the family's new address. This is so fucked up. But, like, everybody looked at him like, oh, my God, he's so in love.
How sweet. What a sweet story that
they didn't know what stalkers were back then.
That this whole family had to relocate silently.
Yeah.
So adorable.
I know. So, they moved, but her health kept worsening. Worsening. I keep wanting to say that word. That's a word, right? Worsening.
Sounds like
a word. I'm going to make it a word. Her health kept worsening. So when Carl finally found them at their new address, they relented. They finally said, like, yeah, okay, she's fatally ill right now. And they gave in to him. And they allowed him to continue treating her while still dodging his marriage proposals. It was said by Elena's cousin that she grew to hate Carl. The pain of being so close to death, only to be brought back by Carl's electroshock, was too much for her, and she begged her family to be allowed to stay dead and to not let Carl know until she was, quote, too far across the border to be recalled. She just wanted to die. She just wanted to be let go, and he kept bringing her back. Fucking Dr. Frankenstein.
Bringing her back. Kind of. And violating doctor trust.
Yeah. It was fucked up. Finally, Elena died on October 25th, 1931. She was 22 years old. But if you think a little thing called death would squash Carl's love bug, you'd be dead ass wrong.
Carl's a sicko.
After her passing, Carl somehow convinced Elena's family to rent her bedroom to him for about $20 a month. Which in this day and age is $366 a month.
Not bad for a room.
That's a steal. Mm-hmm. That's a steal. He also built an elaborate mausoleum for Elena that he visited every night for 2 years and that only he had the key to. So her family could never check on her to see what was going on. Carl even had the balls to engrave his name on the bottom corner of her tombstone and not to include her married name. Fun fact, this tombstone and its engraving can still be seen today at the Fort Martello Museum in Key West.
Really? Oh my
God. Yeah, goodness. I know. I want to see it. In 1933, 2 years after Elena's death, Carl had lost his job for reasons unknown. He got fired. Who knows? Probably for being a weirdo. And figured he no longer had to make nightly trips to the cemetery if he had the body at home with him.
Right, yeah, that makes total sense. What an
idiot!
Yeah.
Should have thought about that from the first fucking day she died.
Whoa.
So, this gave him a new purpose in life. He would look after Elena's corpse from now on, and they'd be together forever. Happily ever after.
Yeah, because that's really what a corpse needs, to be looked after.
Yeah. It's especially by this weird creep.
Huck.
So, he had an abandoned airplane just lying around. It was wingless. It was just like the shaft part of the plane. Mm-hmm. Just like the plane minus the wings. The shaft. He had that just in his backyard. He decided to turn that into a makeshift lab where he would DIY tips and tricks on fighting the decomposition of a corpse. So, are you ready?
No, I'm not, because I'm also picturing that it's in fucking Key West.
Florida! South Florida! It's so humid!
Stinky.
And you know that fucking corpse of an airplane doesn't have any air conditioning.
There was no air conditioning. Nothing had air conditioning.
Oh my god, you're right. It was the 1800s. Oh, miserable. They didn't even have fans back then.
No, how could you even go to Key West and survive?
Again, I'm pretty sure they did. Maybe it wasn't as bad. Global warming. Maybe it wasn't as bad back then.
I don't believe that.
I don't know.
I'm going to Google the temperatures and what year was this?
1877? No. Wow, at this point, it's 1931. I apologize. 1931 is when she died.
Okay.
So 1933, Google the temperatures.
So I don't have the exact date, but like 1881 in August.
We need
the high.
1930.
No, we don't have that. The high that year was 95 degrees.
Oh. That's actually not that bad. I mean, it's hot now.
That is bad, but it's pretty similar to what we have now.
Yeah.
I would say like 3 degrees hotter.
And that was 1880?
That was 1881. So 15
years later. Did they even have cars in the 1880s? Let's you gotta not start thinking about when they start using fossil fuels, because that's what...
Let's not think about all right. Stupid. When we're stupid.
Are we
stupid? When were their cars...
You know, we're not car scientists. We never claimed to be that.
I think it was the 1940s, 30s.
I don't think so. I feel like in all the Great Depression pictures, I was seeing pictures of Model Ts.
Well, that's when the
Great Depression was. 1920s. You said 40s?
I said 30s, 40s. All I know is my grandpa had a Model T and a Model A. He was born.
There was an A?
Yeah, he was born in the 20s. And that's my story.
Cute.
Yeah.
Totes adorbs. Where's the car now?
My grandma sold it after he died. All of them.
So smart.
They were so cool.
They would have been worth so much money right now.
Had them and like drove them in parades and stuff.
Antiques.
Yeah.
They're priceless now. I'm sure someone turned one of them into a cooler.
My mom has a 1982 Mustang rotting away in a shed in our yard that's been taken over by the earth. Ooh. The earth has reclaimed it.
Yeah. The earth fights back against the world.
It would be cool, but except like there's like more spiders in that one area than like humans on earth. So I would never go near it.
And we shouldn't. Black widows. They like dark, damp spaces. One bite and you did.
Also, I saved my dad from a black widow bite.
When?
When I was a little kid and we were cleaning.
You saved your dad?
Yeah, he was making me clean out in the front yard. And we had this like little alcove that was all just like fucking plants and shit, you know.
Outside. A garden?
Oh yeah, one of those. No, it was like a, it's
typically what that's called,
a pergola.
Pergola is flooring. You mean wood? It's like a wood awning thing.
Yeah kind of, but it was like the beams, a pergola.
Okay, don't Google it.
Okay,
we'll be here 10 anyways years.
He was making me like cut back some of these like palm tree things he had there with him. It wasn't child abuse. I was just helping.
Helping.
And I was like, afraid that there were spiders and bugs over there because it was just like this. It was fucking plants.
So that's where spiders live.
Overgrown plants. And like, you know, my parents are already always annoyed with me because I was so afraid of spiders. And so. You're a
little bitch.
Yeah. So I saw a spider. I was like, oh my God, a spider. Right where he was cutting. And he was like, God damn it, I'm so sick of that. No, I don't know what he said. But he was annoyed with me. And then I was like, no, Chad, it's a black widow spider. And he's like, no, it's not. And I'm like, Dad, it is. Look at it. And it was. It was a fucking black widow spider right in the corner where he was cutting.
Don't they like cool areas?
I'd never asked one, but.
I've Googled it several times just so I can keep sharp on what they look like.
Nasty as fuck.
I always keep, I also like keep Googling brown recluse.
Okay. I really hate spiders. I really, we need to stop talking about this before I piss on your couch.
What I was gonna say. I keep forgetting what they look like, so I have to keep re-Googling them. Because I think that my grass spiders are brown recluse, but it turns out they're just grass spiders. And they're big. They're much bigger than brown recluse.
Sorry.
Can you cut out that laugh?
No.
Nobody needs to hear that.
I thought you were releasing air from a balloon.
Just me gasping for air. God, sometimes I think I'm so funny.
Oh, Lord.
Okay.
Where were we even?
We are at the nitty gritty of it all, aren't we?
Was it about spiders?
No. I don't know why. Oh, we were talking about cars.
Oh, God. And
global warming. Cars, global warming, temperature, decomposition. We're getting into the nitty-gritty of the gross shit. Okay. He's in his laboratory. It's outdoors. It's in a weird airplane with no wings.
A fuselage?
Possibly. I'll have to Google that later. Probably, though. Okay, so first, you gotta fix those eyes. Because 2 years in a mausoleum.
Mausoleum?
You just had to call me out, didn't you?
Well, you know. Good job.
2 years in a mausoleum. Your eyes are gonna be gone. Or sinking in. So, he installed glass eyes. And then he soaked silk cloth in plaster of Paris. Which is like just a type of plaster. And he used coat hangers and piano wire to stabilize her skeletal frame. To help her torso retain its figure, he had it stuffed with rags. Because, you know, everything just deflates. And he frequently applied mortician's wax to her face to keep her looking funky fresh. As her scalp rotted away, he fashioned a wig from her own hair, which he had previously gotten from her mother.
I have my kid's hair. I'm just kidding.
Would you give it to your stalker?
Fucking disgusting.
Would you give it to your daughter's stalker? I don't know. It's a little weird. To deal with the odor of decomp, he would use perfumes, flowers, preservatives, and tons of disinfectants.
You know what's good for the smell of decomp? You can cover up the smell of decomp by putting them in a casket and burying them 6 feet under where they fucking should be. You just didn't get my joke.
Oh, that was a joke. I want to be composted when I die.
You and your compost.
I've been seeing all this stuff on Instagram and it's like human composting. You can turn me into soil and you can build a beautiful tree out of my ashes.
Every time I throw away something that could be composted, I think,
fuck you, Rel.
Should I save this for Rel?
You should.
Bring her my garbage?
Whenever I'm at my parents' house and they're like throwing something away, I'm like, no, I'll take it home. Why not? Save it from going to the landfill. I'll give you a plastic bag. It's dirty, but you can reuse it.
Have you heard of that, like, it's not a composting thing. It somehow turns, I don't know, it turns it into, like, chicken food or something?
Chicken food? No, I haven't seen that.
Yeah, it I don't know how it works. It, like, grinds it up and... Anyway. I don't have a lot of information on them, so...
Maybe you can look it up later. I don't have chickens, so I don't know how that would be helpful either.
No, you, like, send it away to a company?
I don't want to give them my stuff. I'm making compost right now, so one day I can put it in my garden, because my soil is shit. It's all sand. Okay, we went on another tangent.
Yeah, we got to stop.
I know. I'm sorry, everyone. Okay. The odor of decomp is where we left off. I guess that was a great place to leave off. Mm-hmm. So he even inserted a paper tube between her legs.
We all know what that was for.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But he denies it. So gotta take his word for it, I guess.
This tube, this was here when I got her.
I just wanted to see what it would look like down there.
It fell in. It just fell in. I don't know.
He then clothed? He clothed it. The corpse. I'm not okay. He then clothed the corpse with a dress, gloves, and jewelry and placed it in his own bed. Over the next 7 years, Carl would spend every night with his beloved Elena. And it wasn't until 1940 that his little secret was found out. Elena's family had suspected something was off for a while, especially since Carl had just abruptly stopped visiting the graveyard so suddenly. And now the whole town was talking about this weird dude who lives alone, but he's constantly buying women's clothes and perfume. And then a little boy came forward claiming to see him through a window dancing with a giant doll.
That poor freaking child.
It's always the children. It's always the children that get corrupted by these horrible people.
Could you imagine just every night of
your
life?
If it was an actual doll, that's one thing.
You're falling asleep.
You do you. You're not hurting anybody. But this wasn't a doll.
As soon as you drift off, boom. Some weirdo dancing with a decaying corpse.
Oh, God. Yeah, I got nothing. So, Elena's sister, after hearing all the rumors swirling around town, decided to pay Carl. Lulu. She did eat a little bit of cheese earlier.
Does you want some shredded cheese?
We've all been there, Lulu. It's fine.
Yeah, daily. So yeah, Elena's sister decided to pay Carl a visit. When she arrived on his doorstep, she found what she originally thought was a sculpture of her sister. She thought it was just like a...
recreation.
Sure.
Statue.
Yes.
Monument.
Sure. But then when authorities arrived shortly after, they quickly determined that this was, in fact, the body of Elena, and Carl Tanzler was swiftly arrested and charged with, quote, wantonly and maliciously destroying a grave and removing a body without authorization, unquote, aka grave robbing. Why can't I pronounce things today?
I googled that today. It's totally normal.
What? Not being able to pronounce things all day long?
Yeah.
Or just talking like a fucking weirdo. Say,
or just forgetting words in like a normal sentence, like normal words. It's really normal.
Cool. Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
A psychiatric evaluation of Carl was performed, and it was decided that he was competent to stand trial. Even though he would frequently talk about how he wanted to fly Elena, quote, high into the stratosphere so that radiation from outer space could penetrate her tissues and restore life to her somnolent form. Somnolent. That's a hard word. Form. Somnolent. Didn't Google what that meant, but doesn't matter. It's a weird thing to say.
Yeah.
None of this really mattered in the end, because Carl would never go to trial for what he did to Elena. Turns out the Statue of Limitations was fucking over grieved ones, even back in the 40s. Because of all that, all charges were dropped and Carl was free to go. Now I'm sure you're thinking, okay, so the Statue of Limitations expired on the grave robbing charges, but surely we could have gotten him on necrophilia, right? Well, at the time of her autopsy and the preliminary trial, None of the attending physicians came forward with evidence to support the allegations. Although, 30 years after the fact, two of the physicians that were at her autopsy confirmed that the tubing was inserted in Elena's vagina to allow for intercourse, and that there were other gross findings as well. Like, you know.
Sperm?
Yep. Okay. In it. In it. Ugh. Yeah. But, you know,
there's no evidence.
There's no evidence whatsoever. I don't know how that got there. Maybe she had sex 2 years after she died. I don't know.
It was the neighbor.
It was consensual. Yeah. Too little, too late. All the allegations of necrophilia were dismissed back then. It's possible that authorities wanted to keep things dignified for Elena's surviving family members and keep the media calm, but who really knows their motivations for allegedly withholding this knowledge? It kind of sucks because it's like, duh. Anyways, after the discovery, Elena's body was placed on display at a local funeral home, which still exists today, but at a different location. They moved like 2 years after this happened. Okay. I looked it up. I was like, ooh, can I go there? Where it was further disrespected by becoming a tourist attraction for a short time. It drew crowds of thousands who wanted to get a peek at the human doll. And thankfully, sometime later, she was finally laid to rest in Key West Cemetery. To prevent further tampering by Carl, she was buried by the undertaker, the cemetery sexton, which was like the digger. Like, the undertaker takes care of the cemetery, and then the sexton digs the graves. And then she was also buried by the chief of police, all of whom took this knowledge of her final resting place to their own graves. Nobody knows where she was actually buried. Her, you know, her unmarked grave has never been found.
Okay, good.
That is good. Because Carl didn't give up. So in 1944, Carl moved back over to Zephyr Hills to be near his wife. Where she could help support him, because he's a fucking bum. Being separated from Elena's body didn't stop his obsession, and he used a death mask to create a life-sized effigy of Elena that he would live with until his dying day. Dying? He's hungry. So, he made another doll, except not with a real body.
And he lived with his wife?
Well, he didn't live with her. He moved back to Zephyr Hills to be near her. Yeah. They didn't live together. She didn't want to live with him. She's like, you're gross, but I'll take care of you. Because, like, we're still kind of married, but you need to stay over there.
I would have accidentally backed over him with my car, honestly. But whatever.
She had other things to worry about. Like, you know, their two kids, one of which died while he was chasing a corpse around. Yeah. He's a good dad.
Well, you know, he doesn't need to be around more dead bodies.
Chasing love. So despite having desecrated the body of someone he claimed to have loved, people treated Carl with sympathy and saw him as a hopeless romantic, unable to come to grips with the loss of his one true love. That's why everyone was so fucking lenient with him. He remained alone the rest of his living days, and at 75 years old, I'm sorry, I should say, he remained alone with the life-size effigy. So was he really alone?
No.
He died in his home in 1952. This is for Matt, because he told me I didn't know how to end a story. Where he wasn't discovered for 3 whole weeks after passing, and where no one tried to shove a tube up his asshole to fuck him.
Too bad.
The end.
God, okay. That is disgusting.
A corpse. A smelly corpse.
I mean, honestly, I do feel bad for him because...
Tamara!
I'm just kidding.
Tamara! On his side here. No. You can treat your loneliness in many ways, but you cannot dig up a corpse and stalk a woman while she's ill. She couldn't help herself. Her
family.
Ugh. You know my saying, never meet a man.
We're both married. Okay, men.
Yeah. Are they manly, though?
My husband does listen to this podcast. He's so manly.
Oh, my. That
sometimes when I ask him to kill bugs for me, he'll go, "You're so strong, you got it."
I'm so proud of him. My husband doesn't listen to this podcast, and
mine told me he wasn't going to, but now he does, so I have to say nice things about him.
Love you, babe.
Even though you're not here right now to take care of your dog who keeps licking the couch and kept squeaking her donut while we were trying to record.
Isn't that right, woo woo?
Well, I have to go home and squeak my donut now.
I'm not giving you that.
I feel intoxicated.
Are you okay?
No, maybe it was those tacos. They were... Yeah.
Do you think you're having like an episode?
No. All right. Well, thank you so much for listening. Tune in next Friday for Tamara's story. I get 2 weeks off. Probably, unless we're going to...
Halloween's coming up, y'all.
Halloween special.
Which, like, this episode's probably going to come out 2 months from now after Halloween. But in the past, we'll be gearing up for a Halloween episode. Right?
All I'm going to say is it was really good. It was so scary. But I didn't get that scared.
But also, no ghosts stayed in Rel's house. I'm Rel. I don't want ghosts in my house.
Well, if you ask my mom, she'll tell you ghosts are everywhere.
And we should get her on the pod.
We will be arrested. We will be fined.
Indecent ghost exposure. What? She couldn't have a dirtier mouth than me.
No, but she might talk about trains too much.
Oh, God. She's Sheldon from Big Bang Theory?
Kinda.
Oh, God.
I love you, Mom.
We love you, Robin. No train talk on the show, though. This isn't a train podcast. This isn't for you. Although I do love the Bright Line. That was fun.
It's over. I'm turning it off.
Wait. Tamara, send your stories at fearfulfriendspodcast@gmail.com. Bye.
Bye.